Welcome to the Fertility Stories podcast. This is your host, Mary Sauden, naturopath and fertility coach. I help women go from frustrated, overwhelmed, and isolated to calm, confident, and in control of their fertility. I'm passionate about helping women get pregnant and stay pregnant. Each week, I have a real and empowering conversation with everyday women and men struggling with fertility to bring you hope, comfort, and support. This is our story. Hello, welcome to the Fertility Stories podcast. My guest today is Erin. Hi, Erin. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hi, can you tell us about yourself?
Yeah. My name is Erin. I live in Ontario, Canada. My husband and I have been married for 14 years, and we have three beautiful children, two that are adopted and one that is our biological daughter.
Amazing. Can you tell us more about your fertility journey?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, so lots and lots of people assumed that we had fertility issues early on in our marriage because we did choose to foster and adopt first before having our own kids. We were foster parents, and we got a call to adopt a kinship. It's a kinship adoption, so that means they're related to us. And so we adopted pretty early on, and then after they had been with us for a few years and were settled in, we decided to try and have a biological child. And that's when we realized that we were going to struggle with fertility. And so we had been trying kind of off and on for a couple years when we decided we better see a doctor and kind of figure out what was going on. And that's when we found out that I have endometriosis. So I had laparoscopic surgery to remove that. And that still was not successful in helping us get pregnant. So we ended up having to do three IUIs. And our third one was successful.
Amazing. What was the turning point in your fertility journey when you decided you were ready for IUI instead of trying the natural route?
Yeah. Probably just realizing that it was still not successful. We had done the endometriosis surgery, and you know, our fertility doctor urged us to the sooner to the surgery that you're successful, the higher chances that you will be. So it had been about a year since the surgery, and then we decided to try the IUI process.
Okay. And how did you prepare for your IUIs?
We were working kind of like on changing our diet and just mentally preparing for it, and you know, taking some time off of work afterwards so that we could kind of be in the right headspace. And then actually after our second one, so we did two back-to-back cycles, and then they were both negative, and I was so frustrated with the process and so out of feeling hopeless. And so we actually took a couple months off because I just needed a breather. And then I really, really focused on having hope and just kind of getting in the right headspace before we did the third one. And then that was the one that was ended up being successful.
Awesome. So taking the break really kind of made a difference for you guys.
Yeah, I think it's so emotionally draining to go through infertility. And it's and especially when you're doing IUIs, my extended family knew. And so they, you know, people were asking how it went and things like that. So, we kind of got to the point where we just needed to kind of have a couple months where we weren't doing the blood work and going in multiple times. And I think it's also different too, because we did already have two kids, which we loved. And so there was, you know, that layer of you know, feeling guilty for being upset that we weren't pregnant when we did already have two kids in our family that we really loved. So it was just, it's such a journey. It's so personal, and it feels so isolating, even though there's so many other people that are going through it, but it's just not talked about very much.
Mm-hmm, that's for sure. Did you have the support of family and friends as you were going through the journey?
Yes, we did. My husband's sister also struggled with fertility. And so it was supportive to like be able to talk to somebody else who had gone through like a similar process and somebody who actually kind of got that journey.
Right. And how did you cope with the failed IUIs?
Just really taking time and grieving the like, even though it's not really a loss, it is a loss. Mm-hmm. So taking time and allowing yourself to feel the sadness and feel the loss, and really focusing on connecting with your spouse at that time, because they're feeling it too, right? And sometimes we feel it, especially as women, we feel it differently, but that doesn't mean that they aren't experiencing the same kind of like loss and sadness. So just really focusing on like reconnecting with them. And for me, I'm a bit of a workaholic too. So kind of doing a project or doing something that kind of took my mind off of it for a little bit, so that I could come back to it in a better headspace, if that makes sense.
Yes. And how did it affect your relationship? But I know you mentioned a little bit there about how things affected him, but the whole like infertility journey, like how did it affect your relationship with each other?
Yeah, I think it's easy when you're struggling with infertility or when you're struggling with really anything in life to like want to find someone to blame. Like there's got to be a reason for this, right? And I think it's so important that it's not, there's no blame game in infertility. Like you're in it together. It's not you against them. It's both of you against the problem. And so just finding ways to talk about what you're feeling, but also just like letting go of that need to have somebody or something to blame and just focusing on the journey in front of you.
I love that. Don't focus on the blame game. No blame.
Yeah. Like we won't, it's such our human nature to want, like there has to be a reason for this problem. There has to be, but that just literally ends up with hostile, angry people rather than, you know, people fighting for the same thing.
Exactly. So it sounds like both of you were like on the same page and you're both supportive of each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Hugh has been super supportive through this whole journey, helping after the surgery and just, you know, letting me kind of, you know, when I wanted to take the break, being okay with that. And just, he's been really great through the whole journey.
Awesome. And how did your infertility journey change you?
I think that's a good question. I think it makes you just really realize how strong you are. And I have shared a bit of my infertility journey, like on a blog and stuff like that. And it's amazing when you start talking about it, how many other people say, oh yeah, me too. Like I also struggled, or I also had to do IUIs, and like people you would never imagine. So that has been kind of cool to see, like to hear other people's stories and know, cause I don't know, there's something about infertility that just makes you feel like you are the worst women in the world. Like this is what I was created to do and I can't do it. And I feel so, like it seems to come so naturally to other people, and it can really be degrading to your self-worth and your confidence. And so to realize that, like, yeah, there's lots of other people on this journey too, or other people who have struggled. And it's so good to hear like the success stories, right? Like to hear people gone through it and were successful, because it gives you hope when you feel so utterly hopeless.
Exactly. That you're not alone and you're not the only one going through it. And I mentioned that You are foster parents, both you and your husband. What's it like being a foster parent, especially for listeners who want or are not familiar with the process of adoption and being a foster parent?
Yeah, of course. So we are, my husband and I are called licensed treatment foster parents. So that means we foster for a private agency, not for Children's Aid. So we have a lot of support and workers that come into our house and help us on our journey. So we have been foster parents for 10 years in January. And we have had a variety of kids in our home from age one right up to age 14.
Wow.
And a lot of our kids do go home. So I think that's important that people understand that like foster and adoption is not necessarily a solution to infertility because it is also a hard journey as well. And so I'm so grateful that we, started doing it. We felt called to do it before we struggled with infertility. But yeah, the goal of foster care is reunification, right? So we're working with biological families to help them get their children back home, and a lot of our kids do go home.
And how difficult was it for a process to be a foster parent?
Yeah, so it's quite a rigorous process. They do what's called a home study, where they come into your home and meet with you a couple times. They ask a lot of questions, questions about your past, questions about your financials, and look at your home. They ask the other if you have other kids in the home, they'll ask them questions. And it's kind of intrusive, but in the you have to remember that they're removing kids from a hard place and they don't want to put them into another hard place. So there's police checks and physicals and a whole bunch of things that need to be done to become licensed.
How long was that process to be licensed?
For us, it was about 2 to 3 months. So a couple of meetings, and then to adopt, there's also what's called PRI training in Ontario. So that means that you, it's like a parenting class that you take over, I think, tw 8 to 12 week process. So it can be kind of lengthy to get fully licensed.
And when you were fostering children, like how emotionally difficult was it for the children to adjust to a new environment and for you guys to adjust to having new kids and then after a few months or a year or so have them leave?
It is a difficult process. It is very difficult to love a child and then have them leave your home. But it is important to remember that that's the goal of foster care. The goal is family preservation. So, but that being said, we're all human, and it is very difficult. And it's difficult for the other kids in the house. And yeah, it's like none of infertility or any of this process is easy, but it's definitely something we feel called to do and feel like we really need to do. There's such a need for good foster families.
Was there a challenge in terms of other kids adjusting to the new foster kids coming and going and
So our kids are a bit, or the two that are adopted are a bit older now, so they kind of understand it, but it is hard for them. Had a little one go home about 10 days ago, 15 days ago, and they miss her deeply, but we've been able to have a visit with her since, and they were so excited to see her, and they're just so, they get the mission, right? Like they, especially because they were adopted, they know the loss that's represented by adoption and not being able to be ra raised by your biological family. And so the fact that her mom was able to get her back and has been able to, make improvements, like they are just so happy for her that she won't have the same loss that they will.
That's amazing that you guys do that work to help with foster children. Now, in terms of adoption, like how long or difficult a process is it to adopt like a child here in Canada?
So that depends whether you're doing domestic infant adoption or whether you're doing adoption through foster care. So, and it depends on the age of child you're looking to adopt. There is quite a few adoptable kids in Ontario right now whose parents have already lost their rights, but those kids tend to be older, and so they do tend to get kind of bypassed. But in terms of adopting through the foster care system, it would be anyone who's looking to adopt from 0 to 2 has to be open to doing foster to adopt. So we have to remember that the main goal is reunification. And so you could get a child that comes and then goes home, or you could get a child that comes and then stays. So it all kind of depends on the case and, you know, the progress that's being made on their parents' part.
Okay. And in terms of the length of the process, like how long should people expect to like get vetted and apply and wait for the chance to finally adopt a child?
It would be at least a few months of a process to do the home study process, and then it all depends on the area and the need. So I know some people who have had placements right away after finishing and being licensed, and some that have waited for months. We usually typically in our agency wait about 3 to 6 months in between placements. So if a placement goes home, we usually have an empty bed for about 3 to 6 months.
Okay. Wow. So it's not too long, not like years and years, but a couple of months. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it sounds realistic. And what's your advice for couples who are experiencing infertility and are considering like adoption or foster care?
Yeah, my advice would be to make sure that you have processed the grief that comes with infertility, because it, you know, that desire to have a biological child is very real, and it's hard to just kind of turn that off. And so it's important to process that, right? And to take the time to process that with your spouse too. And then, you know, just do a lot of research on trauma and attachment. And, you know, there's lots of former foster youth that are sharing what it's like to have grown up in the system. Lots of former are adoptees that are talking about it. So kind of research into what adoption is really like, and, you know, the loss it represents for these kids. Even if they're adopted as an infant, they still lose so much coming into another family, right? So just understanding that process. But yeah, my biggest advice would be just don't rush into foster and adoption if you're still, like, if that process of infertility is still very raw.
That is great advice, actually, for anyone who's considering, like, fostering or adoption. What is your message to, like, women or men out there struggling with infertility?
I think my message would be to have hope. I know that was a huge, and it's so cliche to say, like, have hope. But when we were, like, in the thick of our process, I just kept, like, I have hope that this will happen, this will work. And learn to come together with your partner and be on the same page in the journey, and just really take the time to reconnect, because it can be so exhausting, and really kind of feel overwhelming at times. So all those feelings are normal and real, and they're okay. Just you have to work through them together.
Awesome. That's great advice for anyone going through fertility. How can people reach you?
Yeah.
I know you mentioned a blog and...
Yeah, I'm on Instagram as Raising Our Fab Tribe, and I'm on Facebook as Trauma Informed Parenting. I've been, over the last probably 8 months, I've been really working on helping educate foster and adoptive families on early trauma and attachment, and giving them hope on their journey as well. So you can find me on Facebook under Trauma Informed Parenting, or online traumainformedfosterparenting.com.
Awesome. So I'll have all of that in the show notes so that anyone who wants to reach out to you, especially if they want to know more information about being a foster parent, adoption, like healing the trauma related to that, then I will definitely have that in the show notes so anyone can reach you and contact you as well.
Perfect.
Thank you so much, Erin, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
How awesome was that? If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe, and I would love to receive a review from you. And let's keep this conversation going. What is your fertility journey like? How are you choosing to be compassionate with yourself? Subscribe to the Fertility Stories podcast. I've got a new episode coming your way next week. And until then, talk soon.